Now, as we continue with our studies in the book of Exodus, our lesson today takes us into chapter 3. Now, in chapter 3, we find Moses at the burning bush. Then we'll try to learn something of the meaning of the burning bush and the message from the burning bush. Let us read then some of the opening verses of the chapter. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank thee again for thy word and the truth that it sets before us. By thy Holy Spirit now, take command. Grant that all our ears shall be open and our hearts open to receive the message of thy word. Bless every listener and grant that those today who are in special need, that need may be met by thee. Bless them in their homes or wherever they may be at this time. We ask it, giving thanks, in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Now, in turning to this third chapter of the book of Exodus, we're brought to the place where Moses is at the burning bush. Now, in a previous lesson, we pointed out how that Moses was ready and willing to effect the deliverance of the people of Israel, but he thought he could do it by his own wisdom. He thought he could do it in his own strength. But he had to learn that deliverance for God's people cannot be wrought in the strength or the energy of the flesh, nor yet by the wisdom of men. If Moses was trained in all the arts of the Egyptians, and spent 40 years in the palace, or approximately 40 years, then he was also expected to spend a number of years in the school of God. God kept him waiting for 40 years. Now, may I remind you that waiting years are not wasted years. Waiting time is not wasted time if it's waiting upon God. It's no use rushing before God. We'll make a tremendous mistake if we try to run in before God, and it will lead us only into failure. On the other hand, when God's time comes and God says it's time to move, we ought not to be reluctant and try to hold back. We should be ready to walk step in step with God. By that, we'll be able to please God. Now, as we come to study Moses in chapter 3, we're introduced to him here in this chapter by these words, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law." Think of this for a moment or two. A man who has spent years in the palace of Egypt, being trained to be a statesman, trained to be a soldier, trained to be a prince in Egypt, a great leader. And now, for 40 years, he's got to look after sheep. Oh, how humiliating that he's got to spend his days taking sheep out to the pasture. Ah, but listen, my friend, as you read through the Word of God, you'll discover that some of God's great men were men who were shepherds. After all, Jacob was a shepherd. Jacob's sons were shepherds. You'll find that here was Moses, who became the great deliverer. He was a shepherd for 40 years. And then you'll read further on about David, who became the great king. David spent his time as a shepherd boy. And so some of God's great men were shepherds. The Lord Jesus Christ was not ashamed to say, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And the Bible also portrays him as the great shepherd risen again from the dead, and again as the chief shepherd who will come again for his sheep. So as the Lord Jesus Christ is set before us as a shepherd, remember this, it may be something humiliating for man, but it's not humiliating when you look at it in the light of God's training. His occupation then for 40 years was that of a shepherd. You see, for 40 years or so, Moses was employed at this menial task. Why? See, to an Egyptian, this meant the low place of humiliation. To Moses, it meant 40 years for thoughtful reflection. In the plan of God, it meant 40 years for spiritual training. When Moses was in the palace in Egypt, no doubt his day was a strenuous day of study and looking after the affairs of the nation. He would get very, very little time for quiet study, very little time for reflection on the things that really count. You know, it's possible for men to be so busy, being so active, that they don't take time to sit down and think. We're living today in days of rush and bustle. It's hurry, hurry, hurry. And all that hurry brings worry and more worry. But God would have us to rest a while. The Lord said to his own disciples, "Come ye yourselves apart and rest a while." It's only when we are able to sit down and rest and get time for reflection that we can see things in the true light. And so I want you to picture Moses now. God has taken him away from all the hustle and bustle of the palace in Egypt, and he has put him out to the backside of the desert, where he can lead his sheep out onto the quietness of the hillside, and he can let the sheep graze on the green pastures, while he himself can sit down or lie down under the open canopy of heaven. He's got time to reflect on the years that are past. He's got time to reflect on the things of God. It's time for reflection. And you know, we need to take times for reflection. we need to reflect on the plans and purposes of God. It's also a time for spiritual training. God had to train Moses, for Moses had a tremendous work before him. He had a great assignment coming to him. He didn't know at this time what it would be, but God was training his man. And when the time had come, God was going to send him out. Now for 40 years, he's been learning. It has been well said that for the first 40 years of his life, he learned to be somebody, a prince in Egypt. For the next 40 years of his life, he learned to be nobody, just a shepherd on the backside of the desert. And for the last 40 years of his life, he learned to be something for God. It took 80 years of training for 40 years of service. Now then, I want you to come with me and watch him now, and we'll see his attraction to the great sight. He saw the unusual sight, and he stood still beholding. Then he drew near to the sight in order to investigate the meaning. Then we find him removing his shoes in reverence as he stood on holy ground. Think of him now. God is breaking into his life in a very definite and special way. He looks at the bush. It stopped him. He had to reflect that time. And he stood beholding this wondrous sight. I sometimes think of this when we sing that beautiful hymn, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." Moses was standing, looking at a sight he had never seen before. Oh, he had seen many a bush, and no doubt he had seen many a bush that was burning. But there was something unusual about this bush, and it caused them to draw near in order to investigate the meaning. Might I say, he didn't know to begin with that it was God breaking into his life. But may I suggest to all my listeners today that when God breaks in to a normal way of life, it's time for us to stop and think. It's time for us to stop and look. It's time for us to stop and listen. If God wants to say something to us, we should have ears to hear. But let us now try and find out the meaning of the burning bush. First of all, here is the combination of the natural and the supernatural. It was a bush that was burning with fire. That, as I have suggested, is something quite natural. I'm sure in that part of the world, Moses as well as others had on many an occasion seen a bush that was burning. In some parts, that's quite a natural thing for the brushwood to go on fire. And so no doubt he had seen this on many an occasion, but he had never seen a bush continuing to burn. Normally when a bush goes on fire, it burns itself out. But here was something unusual. Here was something supernatural. A burning bush not being consumed. Surely that is something supernatural. So as he sees this combination of the natural and the supernatural, he turned aside to investigate. May I suggest that in God's reckoning, here is the prefiguring of Christ in his incarnation. He possessed a body of perfect humanity. That body was prepared for him. That body was produced in the womb of the Virgin. And that body was possessed by him in the fullness of time. But that was something natural. You see, he was a perfect man, so he had perfect humanity. But since he ever was the eternal Son of the eternal God, since he was perfect deity, he came down and possessed that body of perfect humanity. Here, I suggest, is the supernatural. The Lord Jesus Christ, having perfect humanity, that's the natural. But having perfect deity, there is the supernatural. From this unique combination, the voice of authority was heard, for it was out from the bush that the voice spoke. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When he saw that he turned aside to it, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, you see, it was God speaking to Moses out of the bush. Here then is the word of authority, the voice speaking from the midst of the bush. Oh, dear listener friend, take note of this, that in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that perfect combination of humanity and deity, we have the voice of God. We have the Son of God speaking with absolute authority. In the New Testament, time and time again, he said this, you have heard it said, or it was written, but behold, I say unto you. He spoke with absolute authority. He didn't require to quote anyone greater than himself, for he was God. And so here is the prefiguring of Christ in his incarnation. A type, if you like, a figure. And Moses turned aside to listen to the voice that would speak to him from the bush. I wonder, my friend, have you taken time to listen to the message of God that was brought to us in the person of Jesus Christ? Then there is the application of the divine principle. Israel by nature was engulfed in the fires of affliction. We saw that in a previous study. They were in Egypt. Moses had tried by his own power to deliver them, and he failed. He knew that his people were still in Egypt after 40 years. They were engulfed in the fires of affliction. But God had ordained that Israel would not be consumed. Remember this. Their enemy in Egypt tried to overthrow them. Their enemy tried to do away with them. He tried to kill them off, but it wouldn't work. They were God's people. And God ordained that Israel would not be consumed. Here was a picture of it, a bush that was burning and was not consumed. God delivered Israel out of the affliction in Egypt. He delivered 3 princes of Israel from the fiery furnace, as recorded in the book of Daniel chapter 3. He delivered the Jews in the days of Esther. If you study that book, you'll find there was a man erected the gallows on which he was going to hang God's people. He wanted all God's people to be destroyed, but instead of that, he was hung on the gallows that he had prepared for someone else. In our day and generation, there were those that persecuted God's people. They thought they should get rid of them. They may put them in the gas chambers. It may be that they'll persecute them. But my friend, they're God's people, and God will look after them. They're like a bush that is burning, but is not consumed. Here is the application of the divine principle. Neither could they destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the message of the burning bush for Moses and for us? Number one, it was the revelation of God to Moses. It revealed God as the covenant-keeping God. You see, God had made a covenant, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then it revealed God again as the compassionate God. He said he saw their affliction. He heard their cry. He knew their sorrows. You know, I'm quite convinced the people themselves didn't know that. Oh no, they were suffering. Suffering under the hand of a cruel taskmaster. And they might have been saying, is there no God in heaven? You know, sometimes when people are passing through trouble, they say, now, why has this happened to me? Why doesn't God break in and do something? My friend, God will at His own time and in His own way. Here was the revelation of God to Moses. God was revealed as the covenant-keeping God. He hadn't forgot His covenant with Abraham. He said after a given number of years He would bring them forth out of the land of bondage and bring them to the land of promise. The time had come for God now to keep that promise and at least take them out of the land of bondage. Of course, it would be 40 years after that before He would take them into the land of promise. But the time had come for them to be delivered from the land of bondage. He was a compassionate God. He looked down from high heaven and He saw their affliction. He knew what they were suffering. And He heard their cry. They were crying unto Him by reason of their bondage. He knew their sorrows. He knew the many hours they had to put in working on the brick kilns. He knew the hard labor that they were having in Egypt. He knew all this. But now, here at the burning bush, God is revealed as the competent God, competent to set them free, competent to bring them out, competent to bring them in. And here's what God said to Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. You see, God could see them. God understood. And now the time had come for God to move in. And so God was quite competent. First of all, there would be their emancipation. He would set them free. No longer would they be slaves in the land of Egypt. They were to be emancipated. God had a great plan of redemption for His people. And then God was competent to bring them out. That is, there would be separation. You see, it may be that these people who were being treated as slaves down in the land of Egypt, some of them might have been quite happy if only they could have been granted their freedom, no longer to be slaves, but be treated as free men, as citizens of the land. But that wasn't God's mind. God not only was going to redeem them, He was going to separate them from the land of Egypt. They were His people, and He was going to bring them out. And then another thing, later on, He would bring them in. That is, to the land of promise. But then there's the commission from God to Moses. And at this point, Moses is reluctant to go. God says, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Isn't it strange? Moses was ready to go in his own power 40 years before this. But now when God is ready to send him, and God gives him the commission, oh, Moses said, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And you see, Moses now is reluctant to go, but God gives him his commission. If Moses is reluctant to accept because of previous failures, maybe, and also because of his present fear, he is afraid of Pharaoh, and as he thinks of the fear of the present and the failure in the past, he says, now who am I? Why do you ask me to do this? But the point is, my friend, God had put His hand on Moses. Moses was the man that God had prepared, and God's time had come, and God was going to strengthen Moses and send him in to be the deliverer of his people. These people must be brought out from the land of bondage. And Moses is just a foregleam of the great deliverer of his people. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.